Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Here's Cole Thompson.
To all the early birds that catch the worm, all the late night owls burning the midnight oil, and for those of you that just can't sleep, well, welcome on into the show. It's Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson back in the driver's seat, getting you caught up on everything you might have missed, headed into a terrific, tremendous Tuesday morning action. 800-224-2004. Call on the show. Tell us what's on your mind, what you want to talk about, what you saw in last night's game, what the future holds for the New York Jets. I don't really care. Just call on in. Give me a phone number, 800-224-2004. At Mr. Cole Thompson on Twitter, at Sports Map Radio. You can download the Just Saying It podcast version of the show on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Audio Boom, wherever else get your podcast listening systems. You can watch us live every single morning from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Eastern time by going onto YouTube. Subscribe to the channel while you're at it. Catch up with all of our highlight parts of the show just by clicking on one of the boxes. And make sure that you also download the Sports Map Radio app. Carry it in your pocket throughout your day. That way you don't miss a second of all of our great local programming. The wonderful, delightful Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass producing. Fun final hour planned ahead. Aaron Rodgers is over. The season's done for New York, but they did get a win last night. Is there anything positive to take away from what we saw at MetLife Stadium on the first Monday Night Football? Josh Allen stunk. There's no other way to put it. Josh Allen was so bad that he allowed New York, even without Aaron Rodgers, to come back and win this game. What's the future hold for those in Orchard Park? And let's also talk about one team in college football that made a lot of headlines this past week. I'm very pleased with my prediction on them. I think that I might actually be onto something. But each and every day at this time, we go around the NFL, breaking down some of the biggest storylines you might have missed. And we do so in 2 minutes or less, hence the reason we call this segment the 2 minute warning. Oh, Michael, start the clock.
Jack Conklin's 2023 season is over after one game. The Browns' right tackle suffered a torn ACL in Cleveland's Week 1 win over Cincinnati. Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski later confirmed during his Monday news conference that Conklin will miss the remainder of the year. Conklin suffered a knee injury early in the second quarter of the Sunday's game when Bengals edge rusher Trey Hendrickson awkwardly rolled up under Conklin's leg, sending the tackle to the ground in immediate visible pain. He was carted off, forcing the Browns to turn to rookie DeJuan Jones to replace Conklin for the rest of the contest. The 2023 season was the first of a four-year, $60 million extension Conklin signed last season. Monday's news places the tackle in a familiar, frustrating place. In his 4 years with Cleveland, he's appeared in 14 or more games in even-year seasons, but hasn't exceeded 7 games played in odd-year campaigns. Conklin missed 9 games in 2021 due to elbow and knee injuries, but was able to return and play 14 games last season. Jones, the massive tackle, arrived in Cleveland via a fourth-round pick out of Ohio State and looks to be capable of replacing Conklin going forward. We'll start in Week 2 against the Steelers on Monday Night Football.
On the injury front, what we thought, Jack does have a major injury there, so he's going to miss the season. That will require surgery. So, like I talked about yesterday, very, very disappointed for Jack. Spent some time with him yesterday, spent some time with him today. He's a huge part of this team. And when he gets this surgery and when he's ready, he's going to be back in this building helping us because he's a big part of that offensive line room. You guys know how tight that room is just for this team, what he provides. So disappointed for him, but classic football. You never know when these things happen, and it's going to be a next man up type of thing.
Yeah, it's a next man up type of thing, but it's also got to be a reality check for Jack Conklin. The dude has had now, 3 torn ACLs throughout his entire career? Like, it's good that Cleveland invested in the offensive line. Like, you want that for any quarterback, especially one like Deshaun Watson. But still, like, this is a guy who has dealt with multiple injuries since he came out of Michigan State and was a member of the Tennessee Titans. He's gotten injured twice since joining the Browns. He's also had multiple upper body injuries. And now you are wondering, how much longer is he going to play? Like, yeah, he has a contract through 2026, but at the same time, he's becoming a liability to stay on the field for a full 17-game stretch. And this is a Browns team that, again, was smart to bring in an offensive lineman, even though they drafted him in the fourth round in Daywon Jones. This is a team that does have a good rapport when it comes to weaponry. This is a team that I think can win the division in a very loaded AFC North. But still, any bit of weakness, it costs you. Like, look at the Baltimore Ravens right now. Cool. They got a win over the Texans. That's awesome. They also have injuries to Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Williams, J.K. Dobbins, Mark Andrews, Ronnie Stanley, Tyler Linderbaum. You can't survive a season like that. And so it's starting off already bad because Watson looked like dog crap on Sunday. And it's only going to get worse if you don't have protection up front.
Brock Purdy's first game back following offseason elbow surgery went about as well as the San Francisco 49ers could have hoped. Ended in Mike Tomlin the worst home loss in his career with a 37 beatdown of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Purdy has gone from Mr. Irrelevant to rookie sensation to injured quarterback to stabilizing force in the Niners huddle. Purdy completed 19 of 29 passes for 220 yards and 2 touchdowns and a 111.3 passer rating. Both the defense dominating and Christian McCaffrey turning out yards on the ground, Purdy didn't have to stuff the box score. On Sunday, Purdy became the first QB to win his first 6 regular season starts while throwing at least 2 touchdown passes in each game. Purdy's 117.5 passer rating is the second highest among QBs in his first 6 starts in the Super Bowl era behind only Kurt Warner, 131.5, minimum 100 pass attempts.
We just have so many players, and it's fun to watch Ayuk do his thing, and Purdy shut some haters up. It's nice to be on a really good team.
Really, Nick Bosa? It's nice to be on a good team? Yeah, your team's good because you have weapons. Like, the whole thing about Brock Purdy is, as much as he's looking good for Kyle Shanahan, this is the only offense he'd work in. Like, he wouldn't be good when it comes to Matt Canada for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He wouldn't be good for Sean McVay with the Los Angeles Rams. But you're asking Kyle Shanahan to basically just tell him, get the ball in playmakers' hands, don't make a ton of mental mistakes, keep driving the ball down the field, and eventually find a way to get in the end zone. And they have the talent to do that. Like, I'm not walking away saying, oh, Brock Purdy, shut up the critics. No, he was fine against a Steelers team that is now having issues at cornerback, very evidently. He was able to go ahead and target guys like George Kittle. Brandon Ayuk is a top 15 receiver emerging. Deebo Samuel still exists. Christian McCaffrey ran for over 100 yards. Like, it was a full dominant performance and an ass-kicking in Pittsburgh. But that's because of what you have with the weaponry. It's not because of Brock Purdy is leading the charge. Like, take Patrick Mahomes and put him on San Francisco's roster. What do you finish with? Like, 55 points per game? Because that would be the best weaponry and the most impressive arsenal he's ever worked with, dating back to his time in college. Purdy works because they simplify the offense and they make it very easy for him to thrive and prosper and make headlines. But it wasn't like he was a dominant outcome and he was the enforcer. Everyone on the offense had a good day, and everyone on the defense put pressure on Kenny Pickett. Just a solid performance overall by a very good team in San Francisco.
The Baltimore Ravens lost starting running back J.K. Dobbins to a season-ending Achilles tear on Sunday, but the team plans to look in-house to replace the production. With Justice Hill and Gus Edwards on the active roster, Baltimore head coach John Harbaugh also mentioned Melvin Gordon, currently on the team's practice squad, as a possible call-up. Hill and Edwards split carries after Dobbins went down with the injury during the Ravens' season opening 25-9 win over the Texans on Sunday. Hill earned 9 yards on 8 carries and punched in 2 short touchdowns. Edwards finished with 8 carries for 32 yards. The 30-year-old Gordon took 17 carries for 59 yards and 3 preseason games with the Ravens, averaging 3.3 yards per tote. Baltimore released the veteran during final cuts before signing him to a practice squad. With Dobbins out, expect a running back by committee from Baltimore moving forward, and we could see more design runs from quarterback Lamar Jackson after doing most of his damage on the ground in week 1 on scrambles.
No, I think that we're good. I like the guys we got. Melvin is going to, he's here for a reason, and certainly didn't expect it to be this quick, but that's why he's here. That's why he wanted to stay here, I think, because, he likes it here, and he likes the offense and he likes the environment, and he's a heck of a talented guy. You saw him in the preseason. He's a proven back, so I'm very, very glad that he's here.
Dude, I'm hopeful for Baltimore. I am. Like, I like their team. I really like their team on paper. But the injuries continue to stockpile up. It is not getting better. Like, you have questions now with the long-term status of Ronnie Stanley. You don't know when you're getting back Tyler Linderbaum. You don't know when you're getting back Mark Andrews. Marlon Humphrey is a hit and miss. Marcus Williams, potentially, he's going on the IR if he's not done for the year with a torn pec. You have questions when it comes to the other wide receivers. Like, this is not a good start for Baltimore. Like, cool, you got a win. That's great. You're starting off the season 1-0. But if this continues to be a problem, they're going to catch themselves in a world of hurt when it comes to the regular season by midway point of the year.
Pittsburgh is faced with the same with some new adversity following week one's disappointing home loss to the 49ers. Steelers defensive lineman Cam Hayward is expected to miss multiple weeks due to a groin injury he suffered on Sunday. Hayward is likely headed to injured reserve as he weighs his options, which include having surgery. The veteran DL attempted to re-enter Sunday's defeat but exited after one play before he was ruled out the rest of the game. Hayward had one QB hit and zero tackles in the first half before leaving the game for good. San Francisco took advantage of Hayward's absence by focusing on its rushing attack through Christian McCaffrey, who had a 65-yard touchdown run in the third quarter and ended the day with 152 yards on 6.9 yards per carry.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you at this point, dude. Like, I don't. Like, Pittsburgh, I mean, I hope that their defense rebounds. Potentially it will. I like the players. I do. I like the roster. I do. But Kenny Pickett did not look great. The run defense looked terrible at times. And this is one of your best assets to your success. Best of luck to you, Pittsburgh. I mean, honestly, like, and you got a game coming up against the Cleveland Browns. You're in a lot of trouble if you don't get that run defense going. There you have it. 2-minute warning. Right here, I'm just saying it.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
In what was supposed to be the brightest moment for gangrene in over a decade ended up being the souring reality that you ain't going far in the postseason. 800-224-2004. Just picture this for a moment if you can. So last night, you're honoring those and the fallen victims of September 11th. 22 years in the making, you see the likes of a rainstorm protrude over MetLife Stadium, and then you got a game to be played. And it's a spectacle. It's phenomenal. Like, if you go back and you really watch the preseason theatrics, it was a showcase. Everybody was locked into this game. And Aaron Rodgers steps outside. He enters the field, and people are elated. You see this fan base finally have passion. They have a lot of praise. They love what they're about ready to unfold. This is going to be one of the most impressive moments that you've seen for a franchise in years. This is the first time really since the 1960s that you feel like the Jets are actually relevant for the good reasons. Not reasons of mediocrity. Not reasons of being one of the more dumpster fire organizations in the NFL. A team that can't find a way to get out of its own way. Yeah, that's no longer the case. And four plays in, your year's done. Aaron Rodgers has an Achilles injury. He's 39 years old. That feels like almost an impossible feat to come back from. And he might be lucky to play again in the NFL. I mean, there's a conversation that you have to have that maybe Rodgers is done. And you end up getting a win. Good for you. Yeah, it's 22-16. Great storyline. Great metrics. And there are some positives to take away from what you saw on Monday night's action. There are. You can go ahead and say it. Look at the way that you see a number one wide receiver emerging and a superstar in Garrett Wilson. Not only does he have the best catch of week one, he may have the best catch of the season. Bats away a ball in favor of Tre'Davious White, comes back one hands at easy touchdown. You saw the rushing attack. A fully healthy Breece Hall in your backfield, over 100 rushing yards on the day, and the dude had three breakaway runs of 20-plus yards. That's something special. That's something that you will hold your hat on. Defensively, you force three interceptions on Josh Allen. You force a fumble. You get four turnovers. And you get five sacks. That defensive line was dominant. Was great. And I think that anybody out there that had questions on Robert Saleh as a coach, you have to start buying stock in. The guy knows what he's doing. The dude absolutely got his team to rally in a situation of squalor and mediocrity, and they came back and they punched. They punched and they did not let up for four quarters, and they forced this game to go into overtime. Yeah, of course, they gave up the field goal that made it 16-16, and the doink that knocked in by a Tyler Bass 50-yard blast ended up forcing another quarter of action. But still, you were not supposed to win this game. The second that Aaron Rodgers enters that medical tent, the game should be over. This is a Buffalo team that when you look at not just on paper, but just on the way that they play as an organization and what they've done for the last few years, they're supposed to be a favorite in the AFC. They have the quarterback in Josh Allen. They have a number one receiver in Stephon Diggs. They have a top 10 defense. They have a stellar overall, I think, rapport when it comes to the arsenal. Not elite by any standards, but good. Dawson Knox, Gabe Davis, Dalton Kincaid. They're supposed to run away with this. And Robert Saleh gets his players to buy in at halftime. We're down, but we're not out. We can still come back and win this game, even with a mediocre guy like Zach Wilson. And he also had one of the best storylines yesterday. Xavier Gibson. He was one of the big names that you saw on Hard Knocks. The dude ended up finding a way onto the roster because the Corey Davis situation. He gets to go ahead and be the punt returner and the kickoff man. And he gets his first touchdown to seal the deal, 22-16 win, in front of a fan base that just had the entire life sucked out of them. That's a positive in the game. You can say that there were some positives. But then you have the harsh reality that is set back in that you are not going to the playoffs. Your season's over. And what you saw last year, you're probably going to see a lot more of. They got a game on Sunday on the road, I might add in, against the Dallas Cowboys. A very good, potent defense and a passing attack that we don't know if it's going to be elite, but it can be. They have weapons. CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, Michael Gallup, Jake Ferguson. They got a good ground game with Tony Pollard. They have a stellar offensive line and an elite defense. You're not winning that game with Zach Wilson. Mm-mm. You're going to get blown out by 30 points. Patriots. New England's had your number. New England has always been able to play well against the New York Jets. And they finally have an offensive coordinator calling the shots on offense. That's big. Mac Jones had a pick six. Yeah, it was terrible. Guess what? He rebounded, had 325 yards and three touchdowns. That's impressive. You can win that game. You can easily win that game if you're New England. Then you face off against the Chiefs. If the Chiefs start off the season 0-2 because they play Jacksonville on Sunday, yeah, they're going to be entering your stadium pissed as all hell. Defensively, there are some players in the likes of the Denver Broncos. You know the Eagles are going to be a headline team. You know the Chargers have weaponry, and they have a defense that's paid that's supposed to be good, but they aren't. You get the Bills in a couple weeks. Guess what? You don't think for a second that Josh Allen has that game circled on the calendar to give you a payback at Highmark Stadium. You got the Dolphins still twice on the schedule. You have the Falcons still on the schedule. Their defense looks better. Washington's defense looks fine. Cleveland could be something this year. It's a harsh reality that sets in. You are not a team that right now is going to be winning more than what? Three games? Four games? If you don't figure out the quarterback situation. And I feel for Jets fans. I absolutely feel for the New York Jets. For anybody that actually entered that stadium last night, seeing the light at the end of the tunnel that was supposed to be something promising, supposed to be something that was of relevancy. You have the talent. And then you see the offseason where Aaron Rodgers is telling people, I want to play for this organization. I want to be on this roster. I want to be a part of this team. Then you get Nathaniel Hackett. Guess what? He knows the offense very well. The whole reason why New York is even in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes is because of who they hired as their OC. Alan Lazard, good number two receiver. Garrett Wilson, stud number one. Top 10 defense. Players beyond belief that absolutely can own anybody. But the same thing that you saw last year is going to happen this year. Because you don't have the quarterback. And that's a problem. The AFC is loaded at the position. From Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence. I'll still throw Josh Allen into the mix. Joe Burrow. You also have Patrick Mahomes. Mac Jones at times look good. If Deshaun Watson gets back on pace and doesn't look like a $230 million failure, that's something promising. and you're strutting out Zach Wilson. And the worst part is, I don't know what you can get on the open market. What's better out there than what you have? Carson Wentz? Mm-mm. Nope. I've already seen enough. Matt Ryan? He's not coming out of the broadcast booth behind this offensive line. You're not able to trade for anybody, because what happens if a team loses their starting quarterback in week two? Dorian Thompson-Robinson, heard the name on Twitter last night. Cleveland Browns backup. You think that he's going away for anything less than a mid-round pick? Nope. You think that Gardner Minshew is going to be made available for anything less than a fourth rounder? Mm-mm. You think that maybe Andy Dalton's going to leave Carolina? No, he's there to be the mental teacher for Bryce Young. Davis Mills for the Houston Texans? Yeah, he's not the franchise guy. We know that. CJ Stroud's going to be the dude moving forward. Houston's still, knowing that they have 2 years of roster control with him, will ask for at least a fourth round pick in return. You going to give up a fourth rounder? The two positives in last night's game that you can take away from the whole Aaron Rodgers situation. Number one, you do have the right coach in Robert Saleh. Give him a bye this year. No matter what happens, you cannot blame this on him. Because to rally in an emotional game, honoring the victims of 9/11, number one, and then losing your quarterback 4 plays on offense into a brand new era, and you still win the game, that's the guy that people are going to follow into the tunnel. That's the guy that people are going to gravitate toward. He is the right coach. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. And you don't lose your first-round pick. You're going to be able to keep your first-round pick because the deal was with Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers has to play 60% of the reps. And if he does, guess what? Then the first-round pick goes to the Packers. Outside of that, it's a second-round pick. So you get to keep your entire draft's capital. And maybe if Rodgers does retire, guess what? You're in the conversation for the Caleb Williams sweepstakes. You're right there. So there were positives in the overall game, but guess what? You were an organization that had the belief, that had the inclination, and the potential to really be one of the legitimate threats in the AFC. People were buying in. I had them in the playoffs. I know that there was reason for doubt. I know that there was reason for qualms and concerns. Guess what? It's Aaron Rodgers, and last year, he was a part of the problem in Green Bay. But people were buying in, and within an instant, not even a quarter, as Rodgers is getting wheeled off for an MRI in the backfield and x-rays on his leg, the harsh reality sets in that the same team that last year had a top 10 defense, the same team last year that had a superstar wide receiver, a good run game, it's over. It's automatically over. So congratulations on a win, but you really lost for the long-term future.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Sometimes you want to go back to the old school days. Just remember when life was a lot easier. I can tell you right now, there's moments throughout my day that I look back at my life and I'm like, hey, can I go back to the 90s real fast? Michael, I got to tell you something. By the way, it's Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. You can call on into the show, 800-224-2004. Michael, do you remember the dark humor of the 90s, like on TV shows for kids?
Not back then, but now I do.
Okay. No. Like now looking back, you're like, oh, damn. Okay, so I saw the funniest one yesterday when I was trying to fall asleep. So do you remember the TV show Spider-Man and Friends that was on like Fox as a kid? That was like the one where Peter Parker was hanging out with, I think it was like the Avengers on all the shows on that point.
I don't remember that one.
Okay, so it was on Fox when we were growing up.
2021?
No, like 1998.
Spidey and His Amazing Friends?
Maybe that was it, but it wasn't the 2021 one. It was like 1996 or 1997, but it was on Fox Kids. I remember this, and I remember the show because of I thought the animation style was really cool, but it was the 1990s version. So there was an episode where Spider-Man is frustrated at life, and he hangs out with this little girl, and the little girl asks him for one thing in return. She doesn't ask him to go ahead and help her out with her family or, you know, save one of her friends or anything like that. She asks to see what he looks like, and I didn't understand this until I got older and I saw this on TikTok yesterday. So Peter Parker takes off his mask. You know the rule. You're not supposed to show your identity to anybody. And he goes, oh, Penny, I love you. You know, I'll always cherish this moment. Do you know where he was and why he showed his mask?
Where?
He was at the house of the terminally ill children. So the scene goes, oh, I'll remember this for the rest of my life. How long is your life? Thursday? Thursday afternoon? Friday? Oh, I'll remember this forever. Yeah, you got 72 hours, so I don't have to worry about my secret identity getting blown out. Like, it just... The dark humor back then was so deep.
I found it.
You saw it?
No, it's from the 80s.
It was in the 80s?
81 to 83.
That was it? Oh, my God. Still. I mean, my jaw literally dropped when I saw that clip. It's like, I know that Penny gave me the strength because she has strength inside her. And it flings on by and he swings his web. And he's like, oh, God, I'm going to save an adventure. House of the terminally ill children. God damn. Damn. Dark humor. Straight up not even trying to hide it.
TikTok and stuff has brought some of the shows back and stuff, like seeing some SpongeBob stuff.
Oh, man, the SpongeBob one is dope. Do you remember Rugrats growing up?
I do.
Do you remember how many adult jokes were in that one?
How many? I don't remember all of, but I know there's some.
So my favorite one still is when Grandpa Lou is babysitting the kids. And they're like, oh, you know, we're going to go watch Reptar Deluxe. So we're going to watch Reptar Goes to Japan. And then when you guys fall asleep, we're going to watch Mermaids on Ice. But that's only when you kids are sound asleep. I'm like, oh, God dang, Grandpa Lou, you got that going. You still got that libido, my dude. And then remember when he gets married and he marries like a woman who like is all into that stuff. Like that was still my favorite. Grandma Lulu. Yeah, she was having some fun. She was having some fun backstage. She was definitely having a good old time with Grandpa Lou. That was fun. Oh, God. The SpongeBob jokes still make me laugh to this day.
Yeah, that's a lot of SpongeBob one.
Bye, SpongeBob. Bye, Mr. Krabs. Bye, Squidward. Bye, Squidward. Why'd you say goodbye to Squidward twice? I like Squidward. And that's like the PG version one. Like, that was like, oh, I get it. It's an innuendo. That's funny. Okay, that's cool. Whatever. I'm not going to make them too much of a deal. There are so many worse that if we get in trouble with the FCC, like we would be kicked off the network so fast.
So who's Pearl's mom?
Oh, I know what it is. It's a sperm whale.
I mean, Mr. Krabs.
Well, you get the joke about Mr. Krabs, right?
Probably not.
Krabs.
Okay.
Krabs. That's all I had to say. Sperm whale and crabs. Like, they went deep into that one. Did you ever know the Karen joke with Plankton?
No.
So, I give you a hint. People find love on the internet. People find joy on the internet. That's Karen. That's Karen. And then the whole joke about the Karen. So I read this on Urban Dictionary, and I know it's not true because it's Urban Dictionary. Nothing of that's ever true. But
what's more fake? Urban Dictionary stuff or Wikipedia?
Oh, Urban Dictionary. But that's my definition. Like, that's my dictionary. That's the one that I go to. People actually came up with Karen to call, you know, suburban white ladies that go ahead and lose their mind because of how Karen talked to Plankton on the show. That's where they got the idea, according to Urban Dictionary.
I can see that.
I can 100% see it. I can 100% because if she was a nagger nonstop, she would not be relentlessly giving up on Plankton. And I felt for the dude. Like, I 100% felt for him as a guy, as a little kid. I was like, why is the computer talking so negatively about this small, infirm little guy? Like, why?
I don't feel sorry for him. He's a failure.
He's a failure. You know what? At least he tries. He chases dreams.
Well, what gets you if you're trying? Nothing.
What gets you for trying? What gets you for not trying, Michael? Bring it up that way. If you fail, at least you can say you gave it your all. Like, if I never
still make... failed.
Okay, so if I never make it to the biggest network of all time, I at least can say I had a radio show. I can at least say I did something. I lived out my dream for a little bit.
See? Plankton didn't get anything, though.
Yeah, No, I mean, and he... I want to know what his tax return was. Like, how many tax write-offs he had for all those purchases trying to steal the Crab Daddy formula. Like, can you imagine him going into a meeting with the IRS? Sir, why did you spend $240 million on the Krabby Fatty building a fake robot of Mr. Krabs? Oh, I gotta get the Krabby Fatty formula. Why don't you just look up on Google, man? I guarantee you somebody has it out there. Someone wrote down the recipes. They boiled it and they figured it out. They just took it home. Like, that was another thing. Why did they not have drive through? Like, why? Like, because they drove boats under the sea. Why did they not have a drive through at Krusty Krab?
That is true. I've never seen that.
Because think about that for a second. That's the way you go ahead and you win. You just go and have, say, a random person. You pay him $100. Hey, can you buy me a Krabby Patty? Yeah, sure. He goes and drops it off, like, down to town. He runs it back into the office, and then he finds out, oh, there's the formula. Got it. And then also, remember the SpongeBob movie where he makes actual Krabby Patties because he gets the formula? Did he just forget about it, like, later on in the TV show?
In the movie?
Yeah, remember in the movie, the SpongeBob movie where...
The one that came out in theaters?
The one where they get the paddy wagon.
I don't even remember he got the formula.
He gets the formula.
I remember he got control of people.
Yeah, he gets the formula by handing out chum buckets. And then he literally puts the buckets on the head. But he gets them to buy in to go into the chum bucket because if he gets the formula. So, like, that was the whole premise of Plankton. I wanted the formula. Did he just forget? Like, did he just, like, one day, oh, you know what? I guess I don't have it anymore. Back to foiling the plan. What changed, dude? What changed in, like, 5 minutes? Think about that for a second. Why was there no drive-thru when there's boats galore? And why did Plankton forget about the Krabby Patty formula?
Because he's a goofy gooper.
Gah! Da-dan! Da-dan!
You know the secret formula?
What is it?
Well, I don't know, but I know I have, like, what the Krabby Patties are made of.
Okay, what is it?
Squid ink, kelp sauce, dried kelp, chum, salt, turmeric, and barnacle shavings.
So basically, the chum bucket that was making chum burgers had the baseline of what the Krabby Patty formula was. They just had to go ahead and add in the squid ink and all the spices.
And it's all, like, weird ingredients.
Well, I mean, dude, they're under the sea. There's a lot of weird stuff going on down there. I mean, crap, Larry the Lobster is having a heart attack every 5 seconds, and Pearl is the daughter of Mr. Krabs. What do you think is going on? You think that that's the weird part? Like, that's the weirdest thing that you see on the show? Not the fact that there's a squirrel that lives underneath the sea and is able to breathe inside of a biodome that she created.
Oh, she's smart. She's from Texas.
By the way, did you see all the meme? Oh, you probably didn't. But did so when Texas beat Alabama on Saturday, College Football Game Day on TikTok took the meme of SpongeBob where it's like, do you think shoes from Texas are dumb? And, like, Sandy goes ahead and she blows up Patrick. It says Alabama, and Alabama's running next to the AP top 10, and Texas is about ready to go in. And then you see number one circled in the eyes of SpongeBob. He's like, ah, like that. People are creative. Not gonna lie.
That's a good one.
That's a
good one. I'll get to them.
That's a very good one. Like, now I miss 90s culture. I do. I bet the Jets miss the 90s. Actually, I don't know. The Jets were not good in the 90s. I mean, I know that right now they miss Aaron Rodgers.
I know the Cowboys missed the 90s.
The Cowboys very much missed the 90s. They're thinking right now, we're about, Michael, are you ready to live in a world where potentially the Cowboys and Texas are relevant? Like, both of those teams are actually playing good football, and those fan bases have something to talk about. Not about how big of a failure they are, how continuously they make mistakes, how continuously they fail to meet expectations. Like, right now, we're about to enter a year where maybe the Longhorns make the college football playoff and Dallas Cowboys can win a Super Bowl. I am not ready for that. I don't think society's ready for that. In fact, I can tell you right now, the Lone Star State is 100% not ready for that.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Welcome back into Just Saying It, right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson, the driver's seat, getting you caught up on everything you might have missed headed into a terrific Tuesday morning action, unless you are a Jets fan. 800-224-2004. Call on the show, tell us what's on your mind, what you want to talk about. And let me tell you about my friends over at Splash Sports. Splash Sports and Sports Map Radio are partnering up this NFL season to help you win a little bit more money. Because it's not a game based off of betting, it's a game based off of knowledge. How well do you know the NFL on a daily basis? Well, you can find out by joining either in the Sports Map Radio pool or in the Just Saying It pool. It's a simple concept. What we do every single week is have two different pools going on. One is the Survivor pool. You go ahead and you pick a winner. Here's the caveat. Once your team wins and you move on to week two, you can't pick the same team again. So if you had in week one, good old Baltimore being able to beat the living dog crap out of the likes of Houston Texans, best of luck, Lamar Jackson. But now you can take the Texans in week two, or maybe against the Texans in week two. Or maybe you go with the Detroit Lions or the Kansas City Chiefs or anybody out there that you see fit. The other pool is the X pool. Plain simple concept. All you do is you go ahead and you pick the most winners. You get 15 out of 16 right, you win first place prize. You get 16 out of 16 right, you easily win first place. Maybe you get 12 out of 16 right. Either way, first, second, and third place will walk away with the cash prize. You sign up by joining us at splashsports.com/sportsmapradio or splashsports.com/justsayingit. It's legal in 33 states and counting. You can be a part of it. It's only $5 to check it out. Go visit splashsports.com/sportsmapradio and splashsports.com/justsayingit. 800-224-2004. Who says that movies can't become reality? Michael, I'm going to tell you a quick little story real fast. Have you ever seen the movie Little Big League?
No.
Okay, so what it is it's a movie told about a kid, Billy Haywood, who is left the Minnesota Twins by his grandfather. The grandfather owns the Twins. He dies. He's dead. Gone forever. No longer here with us. But he now gets to own the team, and eventually he takes over as the manager, and he leads Minnesota to an epic run. And in the movie, he has a mom. His mom is played by Ashley Crowe. Ashley Crowe ended up marrying another actor by the name of Matthew John Armstrong. And a couple months later, they had a sweet little baby boy. His name, Pete Crowe Armstrong. Pete Crowe Armstrong yesterday was called up to the major leagues as the top prospect for the Chicago Cubs. So, Ashley Crowe, the actress in the movie of a little big leaguer, the movie called Little Big League, now has her little big leaguer actually in the big leagues. Isn't that a fun story, Michael? Isn't that great? Who says that movies can't become reality?
I mean, it's a 1% chance.
It's a 1% chance, and you have to have a lot of money to make it in the majors nowadays. Because you are not, like, people don't understand, baseball is not just a yearly sport. It's a year-round sport. Like, you got to go to clinics, you got to play select ball, you got to be in front of scouts at all times. Like, it's a one in a million shot. But how funny is it that the woman who played the mom of a guy that ended up becoming a big leaguer in the movie ends up having a son that becomes a big leaguer in the actual majors? I find that interesting. I find that to be a great story.
I mean,
okay, you're an actor. You play a manager in a movie about baseball. You play the manager of the Cleveland Guardians. And in that movie, you have a son. And that son's like, "Dad, I'm so proud of you. One day I can't wait to be just like you." And then your son, little Michael Jr., ends up becoming a manager of the Cleveland Guardians in real life. Are you not shell-shocked at that?
That's actually mind-blowing.
See, that's the point. It's not that this happened to a one percenter. It's the fact that it happened to a woman that literally lived this life in a movie. Like, the movie became her reality in real life. Her son is now playing.
She's like deja vu.
Her son is now playing in the big leagues like her son in the movie was in the big leagues. That's a pretty cool thing, in my opinion. I find that to be very intriguing.
101.
What?
She's one of one.
She is, no, literally, she is one of one. Congratulations to the Crowe family, or the Armstrong family, and congratulations to Ashley Crowe. You had a little big leaguer, now you have a big leaguer. 800-224-2004. Okay, we have a lot to get to on Cole's calendar, so let's just end the show on the right note. It is what, September? Yeah, it's September 12th. So, how many we got today?
We have 7.
We have a lot. Okay, let's go ahead and knock these out.
First one is National Report Medicare Fraud Day.
Do you ever get phone calls from people like for Medicare?
No.
Dude, I get all the time. Like every single week, I will at least get one phone call from some random company. "Hi, this is Ashley from XYZ Company. Would you like to sign up for a Medicare problem?" "No, not really. I like my health insurance." "Oh, you don't want to sign up? We can give you a great quote." Can you beat $91 a month for crappy service? Well, what we can do is we can offer you the same service that you have, but you can pay $125. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Thank you. Thank you. I already can't go to any doctor in the greater Houston area. My doctor's all the way out in freaking Beaumont. That's where I have to go, where my coverage allows me. I don't get dental. I don't get eye doctors, any of that stuff. I don't get the perks. And if I go to a ready clinic, like an not an emergency room, but like one of those, like, what are those places called, Michael? The ones that, like, they're not emergency rooms, but they're like, if you can't get to a doctor right away.
Clinics?
Yeah. I mean, I guess they're clinics. Yeah. Something like that. I got to still pay out of pocket. You want to go ahead and do the same thing for $25 more a month? No, I don't. I'm very good with that. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm okay.
National Just One Human Family Day.
Huh? Just one human family? What, are we getting the aliens to come down and join us?
No.
No, are we, seriously, are we having basically the aliens that live on planet Wilsiaks come on down and they can be a part of Michael's family and my family? Oh, yeah, this is our foreign exchange student. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he's great. Yeah, they're wonderful. Well, actually, we don't know what gender they are. We don't know what they are because they're an alien. They can identify with whatever they feel like. That's what you mean by one family day?
No.
What do you mean?
It encourages us to reflect on the human race as a single family who share just one planet.
We hate each other. We hate each other on this planet. Like, I saw a TikTok not too long ago, and it was, what's the one thing that you hate as you get older, people? And to be fair, I get it. I 100% get it. You say the wrong thing on the internet, you are chastised beyond belief. You say the wrong thing to a person in public, they start getting their phones out. I get hating people. Nope. We as a society are failures. We are such failures.
National Ants on a Log Day.
I know what this one is. This is like the one where it's like the celery stick with the peanut butter and the raisins.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. Nope. I don't know why. Like, you know me, Michael. I'm a weird person. I'm very weird.
Everyone's weird.
No, like, raisins creep me out. Raisins really freak me out. And I think the reason why is when I was growing up, I went to this one school, and there was a kid. His name was Nick. Very sweet guy, but definitely a little bit of an oddball. He tore his raisins apart and then ate them. Like, he literally would rip them into little pieces and then, like, bite-size them. They're raisins. They're already bite-size. They're shriveled up grapes, and then you're pulling them apart. That was like the moment I was like, I can't do raisins. I can't even look at raisins.
National Chocolate Milkshake Day.
Yeah. Nah. I don't like milkshakes. Don't like chocolate. Again, weird day, weird dude. Don't like it. By the way, I finally had my first ice cream last Sunday in like 6 years.
Of course.
What? It was wonderful. Like, have you ever noticed that, like, when you get, like, with a, like, when Betty wants ice cream, you have to get ice cream to make her not feel insecure? Because, like, that's what Kirsten makes me do.
No.
No, every single time. It's like, I want ice cream. I'm like, okay, we can go get ice cream. It's like, are you going to get ice cream? No, I'll just pay for it. Oh, I don't want ice cream anymore. Okay, cool, whatever. I don't need to spend money on ice cream anyways. I don't need to do it. But I want ice cream. Okay, so I have to get it now because you want it? We can't live in a society where you just eat and I sit there and watch.
National Video Games Day.
Okay, this is the one that you would pick. I know that. Who wouldn't pick video games? Is this not the one you would pick?
I mean, I guess.
I mean, it's
pretty much video games day every day.
I'm looking at your face and you go, I don't know if I'd pick this one. What do you mean? You play video games every day?
Pretty much.
Exactly.
National Hug and High Five Day.
Oh, I like that one. Give someone a hug, give someone a high five, make their day better.
And National Day of Encouragement.
No, I don't want to encourage you to do anything. Unless I'm going to encourage you to... National Hug and High Five Day. Encourage you to go reach out to somebody, give them a pat on the back, say good job and a high five, and go along your day. And that does it for our day here on Just Saying It. I will be back tomorrow to break down more NFL news. If the Jets fans are still alive and haven't self-imploded. What we saw in college football heading into week 3. And what also we can talk about the likes of the MLB. It's Cole Thompson, Just Saying It, signing off. Have a good Tuesday, folks. Later!